Lots of pages. I can't do what I just can't do everything I'd like to do, because you get into the, you start studying the word and then you realize it's, wow, there's too much. So I've been thinking about the message for some time. I was told well in advance, which I like, that I would be here this morning. The thoughts that I have are derived from a book I'm reading, and it's just a little tiny book. That's not much, right? Well, months of reading, I haven't even gotten to the parts that, it's hard. So I'm reading it. It's called The Only Wise God, The Compatibility of Divine Foreknowledge and Human Freedom by William Lane Craig. It's it's a thin book because there's a lot of books on this. It's not the easiest book to read. It's not the easiest subject to study. I have Chris to thank for this, because my son-in-law is deep into theology, doctrine, Greek and Hebrew, and everything else that comes with all that. It's a book, it's philosophical in nature. I did not take philosophy in college. I sometimes wish I had, because then I would have been more in tune with it, because I was younger. My brain is kind of full right now. My cup is full, and it's hard for me to say, I want to learn more. I don't. I'm just lazy now. So he spurred me on to excellence. This book is, they banter about such things as fatalism. Here's one I haven't heard in a while. Backward causation. Time travel. I knew what that was. That's pretty interesting. Einstein thought about it. So that gives me, that means I won't understand it. True. Precognition. I thought that was interesting. And a few other strange ideas held by humanists. I'm also drawing on some thoughts that Pastor G shared in the Tacoma IAGM conference concerning the notion we are light. And I mentioned this last week in Sunday school, and I can't let go of things. So I just find it interesting that God denotes himself in the present tense. So if we go back to Exodus real quick, I've already determined we're not going to cover everything I want to cover, so... Oh, no. Look at Exodus 3. Now, you're familiar with the story. You may not know where it is sometimes, but you know it's beginning of Exodus 3, the burning bush. Exodus 3, the burning bush. Oh, I was reading a commentary, and this guy, a humanist, a non-believer, he was trying to scientifically explain the burning bush. Always a good idea. In chapter 3, verse 14, God says to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. This idea that God calls himself I am. That's it. He didn't go into a lot of detail. He said, I am. There's no other God, false God in this case, that ever describes himself with such authority over the past, present, and future as God saying, I am. And it ties into his foreknowledge and his knowledge of all things past, present, and future. The issue is that we're human beings. And we think that if God knows everything in history, always, then we have this thing called us fatalism, where we think, well, then there's no reason for me to worry about anything because God already knows. It's a wrong thinking. That's wrong-headed, and for many reasons. But God can't help it because he's God. So, as an example, he knew today that you would be here, sitting here today. But does that negate your ability to make a decision free of intervention by God? And the answer is no. You can make a decision still. The thing is, God would already know what the decision was, but it was yours to make. And that's the difficulty of the teaching. If you want to get further in depth into that, I'm putting together notes on this. And I'm going to, at some point, have a Bible study with this intent, to talk about the omniscience of God and his ability to know all things. Now, this bothers me, because Calvinism says that because God knows all things, then he's already predetermined who would be saved and who would not be saved. And then we have this whole thing that now God is the creator of evil, which is absolutely false. Rather than that, this predeterminism, just because somebody knows all things doesn't mean you didn't have the choices before you. You had the ability to make choices, and you do now. So it's a difficult concept, but here's the out. God cannot be figured out. There is an element of faith required when talking and thinking and studying about God. If you're going to know him, there is an element of faith that's required. Sorry, science. You are not going to be able to explain God. William Lane Craig, you cannot explain God. Calvin, you definitely cannot explain God. That's not the purpose. The purpose today is to understand who he is a little bit in this idea that he is. I am. The importance of the delineation, I am, can't be missed. And I'm hoping I can get some information for you that will be helpful. The verbs am, are, and is are present tense in either the first, second, or third person. And you're like, oh no, English. I know. I was never taught this stuff. When I was in grade school, it was just assumed you knew what the first, second, and third person is. I honestly don't remember. It's like addition, subtraction. I got to sixth grade. I didn't know how to subtract when there was a zero in the top number. You know what I mean? 100 minus 91. I knew the answer was 9, but I didn't know how you got there. I didn't know, mark it, put a 10, next one's a 9. I never knew that. I learned it in sixth grade. Sad. But this thing, we don't get taught this, and you need this to understand. So first, second, third person. No big deal. Here it is. First person, person speaking. I, in this case, am the first person. So when I say something like I am, or speaking in the first person, Menzel doesn't like most foods. That's in the first person, because I'm talking about the person speaking. Does that make sense? Everybody knows what first person is. Second person, the ones being spoken to. How hard is this, right? You, in this case, are the second person. So when you say singular second person, it means the nouns are you. So you are. It's not you is, right? That's all. Got it? Got it so far? The third person is neither the first or the second. And they're being referred to. And that's like my wife. She's third person. She is. She was. She's out there doing something. That's her. Got it? That's all it is. Now, I wish I would have got that in grade school. It would have helped me a whole lot in my English essays and all that. And it would have certainly helped me understand the scriptures a little bit more. Now, so you've got I am, you are, he is. All present tense, first, second, and third person. Right? Good so far? Breathe deep. That's as far as I'm going. I'm going to just mention one more thing, Kathy, because she's already glazing over. Was and were are the singular or plural past tense. Was and were. Two classes, present and past. All right? Not going to get into the future. We're just present and past. All right. Now, God is stating that He is I am unequivocally. He is always in the present. He's always in the present. So when he's talking to us, let me go back to the prophets. He's talking to a prophet, and he's talking about the future. To him, it's the present. It's already determined. Not so much what everybody's done everything, and he sees it clearly. But they still had decisions to make. This is a big deal. Because if you get rid of free will, I don't know why there'd be a whole need for all this dying and salvation. Because anybody, I could build a robot and they could do exactly what I say, only what I programmed them to do. Doesn't that make sense? Right? That's it. But we're not robots. We're people unique to all other creation. We have a free will. And we have choices to make. That's so critical to understand. And you say, well, God already knows what I was going to make the decision about. Right. But He knows because He's God. And if you were going to choose differently, He would have known that. You still made the decision. Otherwise, how would He judge anyone for anything ever? If God created people to go to hell, how could He say to them, it's justified, you're going to hell? What? No, they have to have a choice. That makes sense? So you're not stuck. The good news is you're not stuck in anything because you have a choice and you can get out of it at any time. That's what I like about life. I made a bad decision. I made a few. But I was able to make the next right decision to get myself out of the muck and mire. Now, I had to pay a price, but it was okay. I got through it. So I had credit card debt many, 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 many moons ago. I still look at it and say, I think that was the right thing to do. It wasn't. But I always like to, you know, justify myself. So I charged all my clothes on credit cards. I had to wear them because I was going to, you know, KPMG was an affluent accounting firm, and everybody wore a suit, and you had to wear a suit or you weren't going to be able to work there. You couldn't show up without a tie and a coat. Just prior to me, you couldn't show up without a coat, a tie, a coat, and an umbrella. And just a few years before that, you couldn't show up without a tie, a coat, an umbrella, and a derby. They were the last to get rid of all those things. The umbrella left just before I got there. The suit color had to be black, blue, dark blue, or there was an occasional gray. Yeah, gray, dark gray. I did not know that. So one of my first suits was a light gray. I was assigned to the state audit. You say, why were you assigned? That's why I believe it to this day. It was the wrong color. So you can go work with the state workers. That's, I think, was the... So I when I was in the dark suit, I got assigned to banks and to manufacturers. But when I was in a light suit, I went to the state. All right. So I bought all those clothes with a credit card, and then I rolled them, 0% interest. And I tried to, you know, pay them off. And it was hard. And I had to give up other things to do it. But there was a way out. I made the wrong decision, and God provided a way out of that. And that's where I started to learn. I knew how to budget. I knew from day one. But I didn't like to do it. Because you can do other things first. So I learned a lesson in budgeting early on. So God says, I am. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Exodus 3:6. Now, we read that in Exodus 3:6. That's 1,000 pages before Matthew and Mark. It's So we usually forget it, right? We often forget the scriptures in the Old Testament, and we forget that that is the Word of God. There's a place for it. And sure enough, Jesus hits the scene. And he's being tested by all the knuckleheads, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and all that. They're Sadducee because, right? I always like that. So they're trying to trick him. They said, there's this woman, and she's married to this guy. And then he kicks the bucket, and then there's another guy. And he kicks the bucket, and there's another guy. And he kicks the bucket, so on and so forth. And then she kicks the bucket. Who's she married to in the resurrection? You got the living God in front of you, and your question is, which guy is she going to be married to in heaven? I'm just thinking, wasn't there a better question to ask? How about, how can I get to heaven? I don't know. Just a thought. No, that was a question. So Jesus answers it, you knuckleheads, it's not what the resurrection is all about. There's neither husbands nor wives in heaven. You're all resurrected, and it's a totally different story up there. He didn't get too deep, but then he did say this. He said, you know, about the resurrection, knotheads, don't you remember the scriptures? That's interesting. He says, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore greatly err. Notice the way the angel even said it. When Mary and whatever the women were there at the tomb, an angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Even there, God is the God of the living. He refers to, and this is the transition in case you didn't get it, he refers to himself as God of the living, and he looks at Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, change the order, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as living. He's the God of the living. Isn't that interesting? They're dead. Weren't they dead by then? Matthew, Mark, right around that time frame? You know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are? Nod your heads, right? They're dead, right? And he says, no, he's the God of the living. God refers to them in the present. Just as he refers to us, here's the thought. You are the light. We do not become the light. We don't work out something to become the light. We simply are. So when we first believe, I suppose it's hard right here to get between the gray matter. It's hard for us to fathom all that God has done at that moment. That moment of faith. It all comes together. So many things. The folks at Tacoma hand out this little thing. It has 68 things that you are at the moment that you place your trust and faith in Christ. That's pretty cool, huh? 68 different things. I don't agree with some of them, but I get the point. I think they say it wrong, but that's all right. 68. I haven't quite developed the full thought here. This is a work in progress. This is like presentation A. All right, so just suck it up. All right, so you can critique me in rap. But suffice to say that God knows all things, past, present, and future. Since this is the case, and it is, wouldn't it be appropriate for him to say, you are? Wouldn't he use the present tense anyway? He's the God that's always in the present. He is, I am. Wouldn't he then look at us and say, yeah, you are. And we'll fill in some blanks. Isn't that interesting? I find it, I don't know, maybe I'm missing the mark here. It's his economy. It just is. That's the way he operates. Now, it's going to take some time to mull this over. But do so with the understanding that we cannot comprehend God. If that's what you're trying to do, it won't work. His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah 40:28. But at the same time, let me read you a quote. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. If I get this Bible study done, you can come to this and you can hear more on that. His understanding is beyond our understanding. It's beyond measure. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to stand back and say, okay, get the understanding. God is. And he's in the present. And he thinks of it all of time as complete because he has no other option, because he's God. He knows everything already. We already know he counts the hairs on our head. He knows all our rising and falling and all this. All the time. That's pretty invasive. What's up with privacy, God? So he's just got it all. And here we are living life. Now our thinking. We'll come back to God in a moment, all right? So our thinking is very different. Isn't it true? We say so-and-so or such-and-such was. And my notes say refer to the paper, see, because I couldn't get it on. My thoughts were like squirrel. There's a lot here. So let me give you a couple examples. Now, you don't answer unless I ask you to, okay? Because you'll answer and then it's like you ruined it. All right, don't answer unless I ask you. Okay, here we go. Marcus. I say Perry Como, you tell me one of his songs. No, I just asked him to. Marcus. Perry Como. Who's that? Okay, Perry Como, he's a singer. He started singing late 30s, and he went all the way to the 90s, got a 50-year career. 3 stars in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, 3 different categories. 50 years, he had 14 number one songs. I'm sure you've heard Seattle. He was the first to have 10 records to sell more than 1 million copies. The first. He sold over 100 million records. And Marcus says, who? He was. Forgotten. All right. You passed the test. Exactly what I expected, Marcus. No clue. All right. Here's another one. Ethan, since you're up here playing piano. Chris Everett. Who was she? Hey, we got a who is that? To it rings a bell. That's because it wasn't that long ago. It was the 80s. Greatest female tennis player of all time. She's tied, I should say, Serena tied her in a number of wins in the U.S. Open. She has 18 major titles. She was the number one player 5 years running. And he says, the name rings a bell. I love it. Our thinking was, they're not our, right? They were. Used to be. All right, one more. I want to use someone that not trivia focused. Derek, you wouldn't know any of these. All right. Mark Koenig. Mark Koenig No clue.
Language of origin.
Language of origin. Spell it. All right. 1925, shortstop for the New York Yankees. I know. There it is. So, here's the thing. I don't care. We have selective memory, too. Even if he knew who it was, 1925, he wouldn't have known. All right. I got one more. Kathy, because you got my attention, because you were dozing off. No, she wasn't. She just rolled her eyes. English. Okay, here it comes. You ready? I'm going to give you a clue. Gerald Ford was the 38th president of the United States, and he followed Nixon. Okay, good? There's the setting. Squeaky Fromme. Manson. Absolutely. She was a Manson follower. What did she do? Well, not really. Not quite. She really loved Manson. She was not one of the ones that went to jail with him. Sort of. Right, right. She was in the squad, and then they got arrested, and then she wasn't. But she was still around. In 1975, she attempted to assassinate President Ford. And she went to jail. All right. She was. Totally forgotten. Interesting that you remembered the Manson family. It's good. There's so many more that I could come around to. And these are people, we look at them, we say, oh yeah, they were. They did. But here we are. God says, no, no. You are. And always will be. That's the best part. We will be remembered always by God as being what we are. As He has said we are. He knows all of us. I just thought that was, it just blows my mind when I start to think about it. But let me give you a couple examples. And just so you can get a feel for this train wreck that I have going on. I'm trying to get this down. There's no way. But I got pieces. So flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, oh, I don't know where to start. 6. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one dare to die, but peradventure for a good one, some would dare to die. But God commended his love in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Boy, what a status that is. What's your Facebook status? Enemy of God. That's what we were. But God gives us something new. Let me give you one more in the word category. There's so many. Colossians. Where's Helen? Did she leave? She just left. Oh, there she is. Colossians. Different chapter though, Helen. Chapter 1. Yeah. That was years ago. Chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So, wow. my status as an unbeliever is an enemy of God. But notice he said, we're. And what are we now? And this is the interesting part. He takes us, enemies of God, both just as a matter of label, as well as active participation. Enemies in your mind. Active participating in being an enemy. That's a really good idea, by the way. And instead he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. When did that transition take place? Upon placing your faith and trust in Christ, you became and are an ambassador for Christ. When? Right now. When? Right now. Always. He never changes that. He says you're ambassadors. He will look at us in eternity and has. We're ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? Henry Kissinger, 1970s. Henry Kissinger was an ambassador for us. He would go and represent us to other nations. One of the most famous being China, Israel, Egypt. Remember all that time? Any of you remember that? He represented us, the United States, to them. That's what we are. Christ says, you are my ambassadors. You were enemies, but now you're ambassadors. I don't know. Is there an enemy anywhere that has become the ambassador? No, not that I know of. Maybe there is. Maybe there's one or two. I don't know. But it seems to me enemies get dead. But God says, no, you were. Now you're not. You're ambassadors immediately. I thought that was rather interesting. In 1 Peter 2:10, you were not a people, talking about the Gentiles. In time past, you were not a people. Gentiles were not a people recognized by God. It's like countries that we don't recognize, North Korea. We don't recognize you. We see them as an illegal state. God said, Gentiles, you were not a people. In Romans 9, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, etc., etc. We'll get there in a minute. God didn't even recognize us, Gentiles, as a people. You had to go through Israel. Yeah, there's a transition required under the law where you had to go through Israel and become a proselyte, where you change. You adopt their law. Wow. We were not a people. In 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's believers. We're now engrafted into Christ, and we are a people. Isn't that amazing? God looks at us as unbelievers and says, you are not a people. You are not. I don't recognize you. And now he says instead, yeah, you're a royal people. You're royal. What? A priesthood. A holy nation. Peculiar. Yeah, we are. We're set apart, man. We are the ultimate. That's what God's saying. He says, you got it all. You got it all happening for you. You got everything you need. Isn't that exciting? I think that's pretty darn exciting. The whole world lies in the Satan's grasp is in wickedness, right? 1 John 5:19. But here God says, no, no, you guys are a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar people, a holy nation. That's our. That's right now. When? Now. But I still don't do everything that I ought to do. Did he qualify it? Does he qualify any of these so far? He only did two. Ambassadors for Christ. Well, you're ambassadors for Christ unless, of course, you're doing this, that, and the other thing. Then you can't be an ambassador. Did he qualify anywhere? No. I can tell you if you're doing this, that, and the other thing that you shouldn't ought to be doing, you're not a very good ambassador. You're not very fruitful. Absolutely. And then he prunes and then he works on you. And then sooner or later, you get it. It may take you a while. Some people it takes a long time. But you're struggling with whatever. He still says, yeah, you're holy. I'm what? I think this is amazing. Amazing that he would say to me, you're holy. You are a peculiar people. You are complete in Christ. We've seen that in Colossians, didn't we? You are complete in Christ. Unbelievable. Colossians 2:10 if you're looking for it. You are complete in him. Complete? Totally finished in Christ? Yep. But I'm still doing this, that, and the other thing. God, remember, he's got the whole picture, right? He knows the whole picture. He knows your future. Right now, he knows exactly what you're going to do. And you have free choice all the way through. But he already knows it. And he says, you are ambassador Christ. Doesn't that set kind of the direction that you ought to take? Doesn't that make decision making so much easier? But I don't want to do all that. I don't even know how you say it. I'm an ambassador. I am saved. But many other things. I am complete. God has already provided everything that you need. What? Every distress that you can imagine that you're going to go through, and you're going to go through it. God's already said, and this is why he can say it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No matter what it is, I've given you a way of escape. Now, does that mean that you'll take the way? Nope. But he's giving you the way. Isn't that hopeful? So you're going down the road, stupid car is going to crap out, and you got to put in a whole new system. And that's distressing. He's got your way out. I don't know what it is. It might be a bicycle. There's a way out. The new ones, though, those are pretty cheap, and they're battery operated, and you can pedal them and stuff, and they go 30 miles an hour. That's not too bad. Live closer to town. Your fault for living out there in the woods. Here I am, 4 minutes, so it'd be probably 15 minutes, but, you know, it's not bad. So I don't know what it is. I don't know the way out, but God says, hey, listen, I know everything. And I am telling you, I've given you a way out. It's your choice. Now, some of us hear that, and then we don't make the right choice. Well, there you go. It's not like he's not going to force you to do it. He just, isn't that, I think that's great. My business isn't doing so well. My job isn't doing so well. This, that, the other thing's not doing so well. The economy is going to crash. What are we going to do? God's giving us a way. Relax. Having food and raiment in Timothy, be satisfied. It may come down to food and raiment, which is housing. That's it. We maintain 5 bedrooms. In the event that our children need a place. But even if it were 2-bedroom or 1-bedroom, where would I do? What would we do as parents? You know what we do. There's still a living room. Right? Isn't that a way out? God will provide abundantly. He has already. You have everything abundantly. But isn't this great hope? I think this is great hope. Knowing that God knows everything, then when I read the scriptures and I think of it this way, and I've just started this, all right, God knows what's going to happen. And then I read something like that, a promise like that. Doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to give you everything you need. Whoa! Now, he told us that, and he's shown us sometimes what that means. What was that guy that was in the cave? Isaiah? What one was the prophet that went to the cave and ate? Elisha, that's it. He ate bugs. Given to him by the ravens. I'm hoping God's got white rice and chicken in mind. John the Baptist, eating bugs again. This whole bug thing, there's a lot of bug eating in the Bible. I don't know if I'm prepared for that. Colossians 1:13 says, we are translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. But in 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, before we were saved, no place for them in the kingdom. These lifestyles and choices, the way that without Christ, there's no place for you in the kingdom. But such were some of you. But you are justified. You are sanctified. Whoa! Such were. What great hope. He uses the past tense for lifestyles that we've all lived and thought. And he says, those were. You don't need to live like that. You are justified. You are sanctified, set apart, holy. You are right now. But I'm not. You are. That to me is great hope. God is a God of the present, and he declares us as we are in Christ, as he sees it at the end. That, to me, is great hope. Because now, when I look at troubles, okay, I get the world doesn't like me because he tells me that. And things aren't going to go smooth, and things are going to be sometimes a little rocky, but in the end, I know he's going to provide a way out. He's going to provide everything that I need. It may not be what I want, but it's going to be what I need. And then, in the end, I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm all these things. And I didn't do anything. Wow, I'm just amazed by it. I'm amazed by it. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We read that one quite a bit. All things are new. Previously, Ephesians 4:24, the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful strong desires. Previously, we make choices to live based on our strong desires, whatever they may be. God says, well, all things are become new. Put on the new man. And it's conformed to the image of his son. And we have a whole new set of choices to make. We can live according to our strong desires, or we could live according to his desires. And here's the thing, Philippians 2:13, it is God which works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Exactly what I said about Nathanael. The whole idea of teaching and admonishing, putting the word of God in your heads, is to change your will. That's the whole idea. To plant in us, individually and corporately, the strong desires are replaced from the personal ones to God's. That's the whole idea of the Word of God, is to change us to be conformed to the image of His Son and to do of His good pleasure. You have the choice. You always do. And God knows what choices you make. But he never gives up, because he says right from the day you place faith in him, you are. There's no way you can lose it. You are. But I botched it again with my wife. You are. You made the dumb choice. Now, here's how you fix that, Nathaniel. Put the word of God back in your head. Husbands, love your wives. That's what he says. And, you know, if you actually did that, you wouldn't have those problems. Wives. Oh, no, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't desire the headship. Don't go after it. Come alongside. Help him through this mess. He's just a guy. God says it a little differently in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 4. But or Colossians 3, the latter part. But that's essentially saying, just come alongside. We all submit, by the way. Right? We all do. And God tells us how to live life. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. He gives us that instruction, knowing he's got the whole history laid out. These dudes need help. And he gives it to us, the word of God. And he says, just use this. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Just use this. And you know what? Things will work out just fine. Americans, we're unique. We got a whole different idea on how life ought to be lived as compared to everywhere else on the planet. Your electric bill for your refrigerator is more than the income of, I forgot, I think it's a high percentage, like 30% of the world. Just your electric bill for your refrigerator. Think about that craziness for a moment. We got it all. And we think differently. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God says, I made you. You're now a new creature. And now you're to do good works. He just said, that's it. That's what you are. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what your desire is. You're created to do good works. And then that's defined as well in the scriptures. So you're like, all right, so let me get this right. I'm saved. I'm all these things. I know I got to do good works. And there's several other things. Be thankful for everything. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, so I got to be thankful. And it goes on. And he tells you all these things. Just do these. Just keep this in mind. And then do the work of the things that you are. Life becomes a lot easier. Becomes a lot easier. I wish I had been told this stuff many, many years ago. You say, well, you can always change. And I am changing, but I've also made decisions, and now I got to live with these decisions, and I'm not able to do as much as I'd like to have been able to do. I'm not sure if I like him or not, Phil Wickham. I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know. I don't know enough about his life. However, that dude can beller. He can screech out some good songs, and I think he writes too. And I think I don't have time to study his life, but nonetheless. Just think about, he made choices. How old is he, like 10? I don't know. He's very young when he came out. The other dude plays the piano. Big name, Michael W. Smith. He had a book, a song published in, this is big deal, Baptist, at 17. Him and Twyla Paris, they had another song. Someone got to them early and said, you are. I guarantee it. Somebody told them, yeah, you got this. You are holy. You are sanctified. You are an ambassador. You are these things. And then they pursued an entirely different career. an entirely different road. That's what I like about missionaries. Because somebody got to them and said, you know what, you are. And they said, all right, so if that, and that's the thing, you have free choice. You say, because of this, I have all this freedom, I can do this. And I believe I ought to. And these guys are incredible that they've chosen these lives. Business people I've known, none here. Just so you know, none. Well, one. I got to say there was one. Nelson. Just totally different. A little bit on, Ed Nelson, his name? Yeah. Wow. Started a business, did it, and everything, you know, God, serving, all this. Really impressive. Really. Unbelievable. Just took a career, just changed lives all the way through. Thousands of people, I'm sure he's touched. A little bit weird, a little bit too hard on some things, but, you know, I might be a little loose on a few things. That's the point. I wish someone had said to me when I was young, man, you are these things, and there's no way you can lose it. God's got the whole picture. And this is the part that nobody's doing a good job here. We got to figure this out. He's got it all. That doesn't mean you can't make decisions. It just means God sometimes, I don't think he chuckles. I think he does. But he looks and he says, okay, the word of God, I gave it to him. Look at the decision. There you go. Watch this. He's not going to be able to succeed at this. And I'm going to slap him in the head. And then watch. And the angels are like, you knew all this. Oh, wow, look what he did. You did that with this guy. Look at Paul. Yeah. Can you see him sitting there and he's like, you know, angels, here's what we're doing. That killer down there, I'm going to make him reach out to the Gentiles. I'm going to just do it. And you're like, nah, not possible. Doesn't make any sense. But that's what he does. He takes the things that don't make any sense to us and he uses them to confound everybody else. The unbelievers are confounded. That's it. So that's the beginning. That's like, you know, the first time. I have no idea where that will go, but I can tell you that this is a big deal, just getting your handle on this, because especially all of us here, but especially the young, you're going to go out these doors and you're going to make decisions and you're going to make terrible choices. But it doesn't change what you are. And God's going to give you a place to be. And he's given you a place to be and to do. He already knows what you're going to do, but you don't. And if you were going to do something different, he would already know that. That's the stuff that, you know, that's God's stuff. It blows my mind. But it doesn't mean that he said that you're going to do that. He just says, yeah, you're going to do that. How? Why you say that? Because I already know what happened. I'm in the present. That's just there. Doesn't mean he determined it for you. Your life went that route, and he's seen it. And he's working in it all the time. And he's helping you change your direction. But he's not going to make you. So you can be a millionaire tomorrow. Buy a lottery ticket. You might get that billion. Whatever it is now, I don't know. Somebody won that $2 billion, didn't they? I think I missed again. Yeah, I did. I don't know what I would do with a billion. I was reading a story about a guy that got the billion plus, and he took a lump sum. I think it was $600 or $700 million. You know what the first thing he had to do? He had to hire $1 million a year a security outfit. So I'm reading this story, and he's got to live up in the middle of nowhere. He's protected all the time. And wow, great life. So you can buy all the bonbons you want. So there you have it. If you don't know Christ, if you're confused about this, the good news is it's all laid out in Scripture, and we can certainly show you that. We want you saved so you can start thinking rightly. That's the key. Get saved. Place your faith in Christ. Trust him completely. He's got the life worked out for you. All you got to do is learn about him, make the next right decision. That's the best part. The next right decision. How many? One. That's great. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd help make sense of all this. to the extent we can. We can't know everything about you. We can't you're just unfathomable. But you've given us enough. The rest belongs to you. But you've given us enough to understand enough so that we can place our faith in you, and that's what it takes, faith in you, in the finished work of Christ, knowing that we need a Savior. We come to you. We ask you to save us. That's it. The rest you put on us through the Scriptures, through teaching, and we just learn what that means over time because we can't know everything up front. So you help us through life, and we become more like your Son all along the way. Help us to make the next right decision, the first being place our faith in you. The second, the next right decision. That's all we need. Help us to do that. Help us to study the Word, to know more about you, and make those decisions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.